November 8th, 2008.
Are you sure about this, Orion?
Orion scoffed at Asheron's doubt when he told him what was going on as he waited for Spawn and Davin to join him in the restaurant where he was meeting them. Like he would have wasted Ash's time on a rumor. Absolutely. It pays to have friends on the dark side. Striker's sending out scouts, even as I speak, to find that journal at any and all costs. Come to find out Ash's little girlfriend was an archaeologist who'd been digging up dirt Orion's father wanted in the worst way. Now his father had a hit on them. He wants to take down Artemis and Apollo and absorb their powers. He's also hoping there's something in the journal she found to hurt you, which now has your mom going apeshit and sending out her demons to look for it too. Orion laughed evilly. Welcome to Armageddon, buddy. Looks like they're starting without you.
Thanks for the warning. Let me know if you hear anything else.
Will do. Orion hung up the phone as Spawn finally showed up for their meeting and slid into the booth seat across from him. Dressed black on black in jeans, a turtleneck, and a motorcycle jacket, he reached over for one of Orion's fries. Orion popped his hand for the affront. Did I say you could do that?
Really? You'd deprive one of your best men basic sustenance.
Yeah, well, we're not daemons anymore. Get your own order.
Fine. Irritable asshole.
Spawn grabbed a menu from the table to look at it.
So why am I here anyway?
Because Orion was homesick, and he couldn't admit that out loud to anyone. Figured you needed an outing, and you make more money than I do. Spawn rolled his eyes.
Awesome.
He paused as the waitress came over, and he ordered a shake and burger with his own fries. Orion tried not to stare at his old friend. Like him, he had white blonde hair, only Lucian's was cropped short, but longer on top and in front. He also bore the same blue eyes that made Orion an outcast as a boy among their people. For similar reasons, Spawn's father had been a dream hunter, which was why he had heightened powers most Apolytes didn't. Damn, it was good to see his old friend. They really didn't get to do this much. Spawn was lucky that, like Orion, he hadn't been killed by being staked through the heart. He'd been bled out. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to come back as a Dark Hunter. Well, lucky wasn't the right word, given that he died trying to save his Apolyte wife and children from humans who'd cornered them and thought it would be fun to expose them to daylight. Orion was the only one who knew Lucian had actually been a daemon before his death, or that he'd served in their elite guard. As bad as the Dark Hunters hated him, thinking he was an Apolyte, they both knew it would be a lot worse if the Dark Hunters ever learned the truth.
So you're homesick?
Orion laughed. Tuck the telepathy and get out of my thoughts?
You know I can't. You're too close to me.
He growled, then sighed. What the hell, read away. Before Spawn could say anything, Davin walked in and took a seat beside Orion.
Man, whatever you or Asheron did, Striker is pissed off.
He slid a small packet toward Orion.
What's this?
My ass? Spawn arched a brow at that.
Your ass fits into an envelope that size.
I'm impressed. Mine barely fit into my jeans tonight. And after I eat everything I ordered, I doubt it'll fit into them tomorrow.
Snorting at his screwed-up sense of humor, Orion opened the envelope, then gasped. Is this right?
Davin nodded grimly.
Yeah.
They're planning to take down Asheron and stab at his mother.
Orion had been trying to tell Asheron what he'd learned from Davin, but his boss wasn't in the mood to listen. Even Simi was staying clear of him, and that said it all. She hadn't even asked for Asheron's black Amax. Doors had been slamming, glass had shattered, danger was in hiding. Not even Alexion would show himself. If Orion had a lick of sense, he'd run for the hills too, but his sense had taken a hike a long time ago and left him sadly wanting. So here he was, grateful he was suicidal, as he knocked on the big guy's door. The thundering AC/DC riff stopped immediately. Well, at least Ash was back to playing his usual ear-splintering repertoire.
Yeah?
That was not a friendly sound. more like a bear clearing its throat to make more room for the prey it was about to shred to pieces and shove into its hungry jowls. Preparing himself for the possibility of death, Urien pushed open the door to find Ash sitting on his black tester bed with his guitar in his lap and his cell phone lying on his thigh. "You're really not right, are you?" Ash narrowed his gaze.
"I hope you mean that the way I'm going to take it. Otherwise, in the mood I'm in, you might get your ass kicked."
Urien laughed. "Yeah, I do." He entered the dark room, which was lit only by flickering red candles, and shut the door. Then he moved to stand by the bed so that he could finally tell Asheron what had been on his mind. "Look, I heard you when you came in. Not what you said, but what was underneath it. I know it's in my best interest to stay out of it. However, you saved my life once, even though I didn't want you to at the time, and I feel like maybe I should return the favor." The look on Ash's face said that Urien was one syllable away from searching the cold marble floor for his teeth, but after a moment, his expression softened.
"I shouldn't have interfered with that, Urien, and I'm sorry for the pain you live with because of it."
"You know, it's all right. If I died, Phoebe would have followed me to the grave anyway. She wasn't capable of taking a human life, even if the human deserved to die. The only way she could have continued living would have been to feed from another daemon, and that she wouldn't have done either. So you didn't really change her fate by saving me. My father was going to kill her regardless. The only thing that would have changed was the years he'd missed of helping Davin and Spawn. And the biggest gift of all. Besides, if I died that night, my niece and nephews wouldn't have someone to threaten their dad when he's overprotective of them. Muppet was much worse with his own flesh and blood than he'd ever been with Chris. Poor Eric, Tyre, and little Phoebe. Urien was the only thing that stood between them and sanity. I'm the only uncle they have. Kids need an uncle, you know?" That priceless expression on Asheron's face said that he heartily disagreed, and made Urien wonder what was in his past to cause that look. And his instincts were verified by Ash's next words.
"So, why the sudden girl speak, Urien? Neither one of us is really into discussing our feelings, and no offense, I like the fact that we don't."
Urien couldn't agree more. There were some things he really didn't want to know about his boss. "I do too most times, and I'm truly grateful you don't pry, but as a man who defied everything he once valued in this world, and one who sacrificed the love of a father he worshipped, even though it ended badly, the days I had with Phoebe were worth every wound I've suffered." He moved closer to Ash. "I know what it's like to be torn between a love so pure it burns you deep down in a place you didn't know someone could touch you, and between your oath and duties. Between the love of a father you've always known, and one you know you can depend on forever, versus a love that's new and untested. But you know what I learned? It's a lot easier to live without my father's love than it is to live without Phoebe's. I just thought you ought to know that."
"There's a lot more at stake, you know? Like the survival of the entire world."
"There always is. And my father is sending everything he has after Tori, who, given the way you're acting, I would say is your entire world. I'd stay away from Phoebe because I thought she was safer that way. In the end, Ash, I should have been there, fighting for her, by her side. Because I can tell you one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. The greatest regret isn't what you did, it's what you should have done."
"I hate you, Damon."
"Only because you know I'm right." And with that, Urien left him to ruminate on it, as he felt his phone vibrating in the unique pattern that meant either Styx or Cassandra needed him. With Cass, he had the fear that something might be wrong with Tyre, since he was only a few days old, and with Styx, he didn't have anyone else who gave a damn about him. Ash had dumped him alone in the middle of New York City, and the poor guy was trying to figure out modern existence. Speaking of which,
"Hey, what's up?" "Jumbo shrimp?"
Styx had the baffled tone he always got whenever he tried to shop for food.
How? Is this some trick of Mrs. or Poseidon's?
Orion laughed. Neither. It's a trick of marketing to make you buy it.
Is that why it looks so strange?
No, that's because the store already prepared it for you. You can take it home, wash it, and eat it. Suddenly, Styx was real quiet. Hey, you there? Did I lose you?
Yeah. Orion? They have worms in alcohol that you drink. My God, man, what is wrong with you people?
He laughed at the serious tone Styx used. It's tequila, you're fine.
That's all kinds of wrong.
Like Styx had any room to talk, given what his people had eaten back in the day. Cobra hearts, blood soup, bitter vetch. Styx blustered.
I only ate those during the war, and because it was that or starve, and they were disgusting. And speaking of, Kasumarzu, is this one what I think it is?
Yeah, maggot cheese, stay away. Styx made a loud sound of disapproval.
That's it. I'm getting Pop-Tarts, and I'm going home.
Orion laughed at his horror. Can you identify them, or do you need me to come and help?
Little blue box, I've got this. And I know what milk looks like. Get a jug from the back, I remember what you said.
All right, I'll be there tomorrow to help you shop for groceries.
Thank you. Sorry to be such a pain in your ass. I'm slowly learning.
It's all good, brother. Think nothing of it. See you tomorrow. Orion hung up, feeling bad for him. That was the worst part of what Ash had inadvertently done. He'd forgotten the small fact that while Styx could speak English, he couldn't read it. Unlike Asheron, he wasn't a god who was fluent in all languages, nor was he like Orion and the other hunters who'd been exposed to modern culture throughout history. He'd been imprisoned away from everything and everyone. Styx's native tongue was ancient Greek. He couldn't even read the modern Greek version, nor did he understand modern currency. He knew nothing at all about the modern world or how to navigate it. So when Ash had literally dumped him in his apartment without any kind of orientation, Styx had been at a loss on how to do anything, such as write a check or use a credit card. He'd never used a phone or computer. Had Orion not tracked him down, he'd have starved to death. But to be fair to Asheron, Styx had asked to leave at a bad time. That very day, Asheron had been in a near-fatal accident and had almost lost Tori. Normally, Asheron would never have been quite that cold, even to Styx. But his mind had been on other things and other concerns. As the old saying went, bad times made for bad people, and these times were making for some of the worst. So in anger, Asheron had lashed out. And sadly, Styx had been in the line of fire to catch the fury that should have gone toward the ones who hurt Tori. They were all under threat, and the most insidious part of their enemies was that the darkness was trying to drive a wedge between them, to isolate them. And it was working. Divided, we fall. It was much easier to take down an enemy when they were fighting among themselves than it was one united against you. But what Orion couldn't figure out was how to unite two brothers who were determined to destroy each other, any more than he could figure out how to stop his father and get his own vengeance.